All right, I'd like you to take your Bible this morning and turn to Romans chapter 8. When we do it God's way, He wants us to be the head and not the tail. In the next two messages, we're going to talk more about how and the kingdom will be ours once again.
Welcome to Mission to Israel, a broadcast ministry featuring author, teacher, and evangelist Ted R. Weiland. The focus of this ministry is to open the eyes of our people and give insight into the issues we find ourselves facing in this day and age. Our address is Mission to Israel, Post Office Box 248, Scotts Bluff, Nebraska 69363, or you can reach us via the web at www.missiontoisrael.org. And now, here's Ted Weiland.
Okay, let's take our Bibles, if you will. Let's open your swords to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'd like to begin with verse 13. It seems to be a verse that I have used here. If you've been following us either online or through our CD and tape ministries, a verse that I have been coming back to, a repeated theme, and my recent messages and series, where it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men." The New American Standard says, "Act like men, be strong." In Joel chapter 3 and verse 9, we are told to wake up the mighty men. If ever there was a day that we need mighty men, it's today. If ever there was a need to wake up the mighty men among us and within us. You see, we're never going to wake up the mighty men among us unless we wake up the mighty man within us. And I believe there is that potential in every one of us men, young and old alike. And we need to, if ever there was a day, to wake up the mighty men among us, and particularly for the remnant within us, it's now. The term mighty men, I don't know if you've ever seen this or noticed this or not, but is found employed in the entire Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, many, many times, and really could deserve a study all of its own. However, today you don't hear that term employed. Hey, there goes a mighty man. You know, it's just not a term that we use today. There's another one. But instead, we may use in today's vernacular something instead like macho men. There's a macho man. Or something similar. And hopefully, you know, I spoke to the young men in particular yesterday when we broke up into different parties, different groups for the women and the men. And hopefully it's the aspiration of our young men. And I think it is. I was looking into the eyes of those and they were intent on what was being said. And I look at these young men and I'm so proud of them. And I'm so proud of their parents that have gotten to the point that they are. And I think it is the aspiration of our young men to wake up the mighty men that I know is within them. Joshua 1 and verse 7. Yahweh speaking to Joshua, he said, "Only be strong, Joshua, and very courageous." Why? Oh, my goodness, they were about to cross the Jordan that Mark described so vividly in his message. They were about to cross the Jordan and go into Canaan land and face the Canaanites, some of whom were giants. And so Yahweh says to Joshua, "Be a man, Joshua, and be courageous," right? I got you again. I didn't get you turning there because I was going to get you again. No. The Canaanites were the least of their worries. Yahweh said to Joshua, he said, "Only be thou strong, Joshua, and be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, to turn not from the left or not from the right, that thou mayest prosper." David's last instructions to Solomon included the following in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verses 2 through 3, where he said, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Why? Why did he want him? Why was it that he was admonishing him this way? It's a recurrent theme. And keep, he says, the charge of Yahweh thy God to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. No, not merely courageous, but courageous in both of those last two passages. Courageous in the laws of Yahweh. And it does, let me tell you, it does, young men and older men alike, it does, if you haven't figured this out, it does take courage to stand on and in and to preach and to teach the laws of Yahweh, particularly in this day and age, and I think probably even more so in the days to come. Be strong, therefore, young men. Be courageous. Stand like men in the laws of our God and King. Part of Azariah's admonition to King Asa was the following. He said, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work, if you do so, will be rewarded. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 7. Somewhat akin, very similar to what we find in 1 Corinthians 15:58. I always seem to get back to this one. It seems to be the theme that God has put in my heart for the conferences, whether it be here in Branson or Wisconsin or Illinois and many times other places that God allows me to preach. It seems He always takes me back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, where it says, be steadfast. Be a man. Be steadfast, immovable in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor in Yahweh is not in vain. Azariah to King Asa again, he said, be strong, therefore, and let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. You want a reward? There's no promise. Let me tell you, young men, there is no promise. Yeah, old men, older men alike. There is no promise of any reward in anything else. Not that there cannot be, but there is no promise, I guarantee you, of any reward in anything else except in the work of Yahweh. That is a promise. I guarantee you that will never be broken by our God. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord there your labor is not and will not ever, ever, ever be in vain. In fact, if you don't see it in your lifetime, I guarantee you're planting seeds that will not be in vain sent generations down the road. One of the things that Jim related to me yesterday when I talked to him on the phone about Lael in the hospital is that the response that he's gotten from people that he hasn't heard from for years, and who told him in April, you will never know the impact that you have had in our lives that he never knew about. Yahweh to Job in Job chapter 38 and verse 3 and in chapter 40 verse 7, two times, same words. He basically said, man, Job, you know, I don't relate with Job. A lot of people that use Job, preach from Job, I don't understand Job at all. But maybe this helps me understand it, where he finally says to Job, and maybe I don't understand it because I haven't been in his shoes either, to the extent that he has anyway. But anyway, nonetheless, he says to Job, gird up now thy loins like a man, Job. Basically, by that point, I think he was saying, quit your whimpering and whining and be a man. It's time. Daniel 10 in verses 18 and 19. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. All of that well and said, but he still says, be strong. Yes, be strong. Daniel. Isaiah 46 and verse 8, remember this, and show yourselves men. What a recurrent theme. Over and over again, we find essentially the same admonition. That is for men to be men. You think, well, that comes naturally, right? Well, obviously not if God takes that many times, and I haven't covered it near anywhere near as many times, that reoccurrence theme comes up. Over and over again, he tells men, to be mighty, to be courageous, to be powerful. If you will, macho men. The title of this message is Macho Man. The qualities of authentic manhood. And which is meant to be a follow-up to the previous two series. If you've been following along, the first one, a two-part series called Chivalry, and then a six-part series called Misguided Chivalry, and particularly the latter series. In part six of Misguided Chivalry, if you've listened to the message, I pointed out that the entire series was not balanced as it pertains to godly relationships, particularly as regarding husbands and fathers' responsibilities, and that it was imbalanced because of the nature of the series and its particular emphasis. It wasn't the emphasis necessarily to balance that part of it, but because I didn't take the time to balance it was imbalanced if I leave that series alone. And because it was imbalanced, I decided that I needed to follow it up with this particular message. The truth be known, men, in today's society, men are usually either wimps, or in this day and age, worse, or they're brutes. They're either wimps or they're brutes. Men who are exclusively or predominantly velvet, or men who are predominantly and exclusively only steel. Two extremes. We talked about that last night downstairs as well. Two extremes, neither of which we seem to have a shortage of in this day and age. But we do seem to have a dearth of balanced men, of Spirit-led men. Men who are the only way they'll be balanced. The only way, young men, you'll be balanced. Who are completely surrendered to their Lord and Savior. Men who are being daily transformed into the image of the only perfect and perfectly balanced man. In other words, simply put, we have a shortage of real men. And it's time that, as Joel wrote, that we wake up the mighty men. The mighty men among us and the mighty men within us. For those of us who are repulsed and repelled at men who are only velvet, knowing that that's unnatural and thus not what Yahweh intends us to be, in fact, it's an ungodly extreme, seem far too often to fail to recognize that the opposite extreme is just as ungodly. Extremes almost always are just a reaction to another extreme and is just as bad as the extreme reacted to. They're just as bad. In other words, to be a brute, to be a brute man is just as ungodly as to be a wimp. And to actually find the balance between the two, between the brute and the wimp, between retaining your manhood without going too far, is challenging to say the least. In fact, I'll go so far as to say it's impossible. It's impossible, that is, if you're not regenerated, and if you're not Holy Spirit-led, you will never get anywhere close to the balance. For the wimp of a man, it's easy to be a wimp. We have different men are born, and maybe because of circumstances and how they're raised, some have a natural tendency toward being a wimp, and some have a natural tendency toward being a brute. And for the wimp of a man, it's easy to be a wimp. That's what comes natural for him. And for the brute, it's easy to be a brute. because that's what comes natural to him. And therein, men, is the whole crux of the problem. The natural man versus the spiritual man. The imbalanced man versus the balanced man. Are we doing, men, what simply comes natural to us? Or are we submitted to the Holy Spirit and thereby transforming the natural man, what's natural to us, whether he be the wimp or whether he be the brute? Well, it's the brute. It's the brute that I intend to devote the remainder of this series to. Now, wimps, you'll just have to wait for another message. But let me tell you this much at this point, and that is that your problems are solved in the same way the brute's problems are, by submitting to Christ. By submitting to Christ and His Spirit's leading and guiding and empowering and strengthening. The answer is the same. Now, regrettably, there are going to be men who are going to latch hold of my last series entitled Misguided Chivalry and attempt to use it to justify their overbearing, abusive, scoliose ways. If that term isn't familiar to you, you'll have to go back and listen to that series. To use that series to justify their overbearing, abusive, scoliose ways. God forbid, in addition to its primary purpose. Listen, that series, whether you caught it or not, that series actually is a reprimand and a reproach to such scolioses. And personally, I look forward to the day when we have such men who will stand before godly judges who will sentence them to the public beating that they probably deserve. Or perhaps to lex talionis, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a limb for a limb, or whatever else is required. I look forward to the day when such men, when we have community enough to have our own judges and to deal out what should be dealt out in such situations. In the meantime, for any wife or child whose only recourse at this point in time is to appeal to Yahweh for protection from such a quote-unquote man, may Yahweh speedily hear your prayers and recompense your just due. The truth is, men, for those of us whose natural tendencies are to be brutish rather than wimpish, there is not, and I think you'll agree with me, that there is not a man among us who doesn't need some work on this area, yours truly included. At least some fine-tuning. And for some of us, perhaps even a major overhaul. So, what I want to do with the rest of this series is to look at what Yahweh expects of us as men. He calls us to be men. He challenges us to men. It's over and over and over again that we find it in His Word. And therefore, somehow we are falling short, men. Men as a whole are falling short and need to be, obviously, taught what it means to be a man. And so, we want to begin, or I want to begin, by asking, and in fact I intended, and I forgot to do it, was to hand out a sheet and have you actually do this and go over it and maybe even share some of it to embarrass all of you men. But let me begin by just simply asking you, you're just going to have to answer this question as best you can in the very limited time I'm going to give you to do so, but by asking you if you were to list the qualities of manliness, what would be on your list? Now, regrettably, I've already ad-libbed far too much, and I can't give you much time to think about that. But, you know, I'll venture to say that your, or at least the average man's list wouldn't look anything like it should. Without the influence of Yahweh and His holy word and His spirit, the average man's list would contain attributes, see if you do not relate, would contain attributes like physically strong, that's manliness, and courageous, and determined, he's a determined man, and decisive, and athletic, and heroic, and tough. Now, there would be other things too, but that's the general idea of what you and I would put on our list. Right? But I ask you, how many of those things, and whatever are things like those that we would put on our list, are found in the Scriptures as attributes of manliness? As attributes or the qualities of genuine manhood, of the macho man? Well, I'll tell you how many. Exactly zip. Zilch. Nada. I think that means not a one. And would you like to know why we don't find any of those things that you and I would put on our list listed that way in the Scriptures? It's really pretty simple. It's because Yahweh, you see, built those into us to at least somewhat be natural. They, you could say, come with a package. You know, you go out and buy a vehicle now and this comes with a package. Well, our package was meant to come with those qualities that you and I would have put on our list. And therefore, it wasn't necessary for Yahweh to waste inspiration, to waste vellum, to waste papyrus, to waste ink and paper in telling us to do what already should come naturally to us. Instead, He concentrated on the attributes, the qualities that He knows doesn't come natural to us, and which therefore require special instruction and spirit empowerment and reminder for us, reminder after reminder after reminder, in order for us to be able to accomplish them. The qualities which truly prove men, whether we are men, whether we are macho or not. Because think about it. Because if the only things you are able to master is what comes natural, really, what great manly thing has been accomplished? And if you've achieved none of the attributes, or very few of the attributes that don't come natural, you've only proven yourself to be just another kind of whip. Not whip, wimp. And certainly men not spirit-led. You're the kind of guy who, if labeled sons of thunder, you'd get excited about it. Wow, I want to be a son of thunder, you betcha. Well, do you recall who were given that appellation? It was James and John who, in like Luke 9:34, wanted to, if you'll recall, call fire down on the Samaritans. And Christ responded by rebuking them and telling them, "You know not what spirit you are of." That they were ignorant of where that came from. Now, men, be truthful. If you are truthful, you'll agree with me. We relate to the sons of thunder. And we just assume that Yeshua had instead responded, "Go ahead and get her done, man." Right? But therein, we know not what spirit we are of either. As sons, quote unquote, sons of thunder, we know what would be on our list, don't we? But what, I ask you, would Yeshua's, the lion and the lamb's list look like? Well, you don't have to wonder about it. Isn't that good? You don't have to wonder about it because He's already provided us with not one, but several such lists of His list of genuine manualists. And that may surprise you. All of which you might try to be thinking, where is that? Where are they? I can't even think of one list. Where are these lists? Well, we'll get to them. All of which provide the authentic qualities of manhood, the authentic qualities of the macho man. All of which, for the most part, do not come naturally. Traits which, in their entirety, can only be developed in and by and through Yahweh's Spirit within us. So, let's examine Yahweh's list, which contain the qualities, the genuine qualities of manliness. In fact, there's five such lists found in the Bible. Surprised? The question is, macho man, at least at this point, is, are you macho enough to go visit them? Are you brave enough? Are you courageous enough? Are you man enough? Are you virile enough to take up the challenge that's found in these lists? To not only examine the attributes of true machoism therein, found therein, but also, and more importantly, to make them your own if they are not. Well, brave enough or not, we're going there. The first list, anybody want to take a stab at it? The first list is found in 1 Corinthians 13. You say, wait a minute, I know what that is. That's that lovey-dovey type stuff. There's no macho man list there. No, not at all. Oh, yeah? Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, three times the Apostle Paul admonishes us men to love our wives. And what man among us, as a part of his manhood, doesn't envision himself as being a great lover? Right? Well, men, 1 Corinthians 13 provides us the attributes of a great lover. And ladies, with your husband's permission, you can amen there anywhere along here you like. All right, so men, I ask you again, are you courageous enough to really go here and do what we need to do with this particular passage? 1 Corinthians 13, or this particular list. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, or most versions say love, though I have not love, I have become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Or New American Standard, a little bit better, says a clanging cymbal. In other words, men, without love, you are nothing but a hollow bass drum, a bag of wind. You merely make a lot of noise. And consequently, probably not much worth listening to. In fact, men, when it comes to noise, most of us make far too much of it. And we need to learn to be quiet and to sometimes just listen. And I'm preaching that one right back at myself. I haven't got that done yet. Near as much as I need to. Verse 2 and 3, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profits me nothing. What kind of man are you, men, without love? Without the love that is going to be described in the verses to follow? You're nothing. You can say, but man, there's some great things there. Well, they may be great things, but alone they don't make you a great man. You're nothing. You're no man at all. Verse 4, it says, it begins by saying charity or love suffereth long. Now, from this point on, you can not only replace the word charity with love, but you can replace it with real men. The New American Standard, where the King James says suffereth long, the New American Standard translates it, love is patient. We're going to translate it, real men are patient. That one hurts, doesn't it, man? Macho men. That one hurts. Are you a long or are you a short sufferer? You know, your wife and children know, and so does Yahweh. One of the attributes of a true macho man is that he is patient. He's at least working on becoming patient, and I have to say that for my sake because I still want to be a macho man. And I haven't got that one whipped all the way yet. I'm much better than I used to be, and I think my family would testify to that, but they would also testify that I've still got a ways to go. At least he's a man who's working on it, and he's better in being patient than he was before. Back to verse 4, the second part. Love is kind and envieth not. How many of your men, as I asked you to start this list, or if I'd given you time to actually write down the list, how many of you would have put kindness on your list? The attributes of the macho man, kindness. Yeah, sure, you would have. Well, why not? Why wouldn't you have put that on your list? Well, I'll tell you why not. Because no one, men, has ever told us that that was an attribute of manliness. How many of you are kind? You know, we just buried a couple weeks ago a man. In this particular area in particular, it was Linda's father. You never met such a man so kind as Scott Glenn. I can go back in the times when he was living in Torrington, Wyoming, when we were just a brand new family, and there was a neighbor, children who didn't feed their dog as often as they should. He just took it upon himself. And I don't know if they ever knew, but when he didn't have feed, he went over and fed him. And that was just the beginning of the type of kind man that Scott Glenn was. How many of you men are kind, not only to outsiders, but where it really counts, with your family, with your wives and your children? Continuing, verse 4, it says that love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. New American Standard, I think I missed part of that. First of all, it says, love envieth not, and just so you know what it's talking about there, I think the New American Standard has it better. It says, is not jealous. And then it continues in charity, it says, charity or love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. The New American Standard translated as does not brag. Now, have you ever noticed, this will help you see that this is really a list for manliness, but have you ever noticed that bragging is principally and almost exclusively a man problem? I can't think of any women that I've known are braggarts. It's a man's problem. And men, the fact is, we can be a bunch of blowhards. And I assure you that if you are a braggart, you're the only one that's impressed with yourself. And your family is sick of hearing it. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 2. Let another praise you, men, and not your own mouth. A stranger, even a stranger, but not your own lips. Verse 5 begins by saying, love does not behave itself unseemly. New American Standard, unbecomingly, men. In other words, a real man is not obnoxious. And if ever there was a day that we need men who set the stage in that area or lead the way in that area, it's in this day and age because we have a society full of obnoxious men. Men that have led the way so that today, in today's society, we now have obnoxious women as well because of the lead of obnoxious men. This means, men, no more belching or anything related thereto. Even, and maybe I should say, especially in your homes, unless you're there alone. And then have a way at it. There's no chivalry in being obnoxious. No more foul jokes. No more rude and crude humor, particularly in the presence of ladies. Because there's nothing funny in it to begin with, except to your fellow bores. B-O-O-R-S is. Listen. If you haven't ceased and desisted in jock behavior, you haven't even gotten to first base in being a chivalrous man. Verse 5, second part of verse 5. Let's see here. First 13, chapter 13, verse 5. Seeketh not her own, or in our case, his own. A macho man's. In other words, a macho man's, a man's man is not selfish. And the truth be known, in this area of manhood, most women are better men, quote unquote, than most of us men. I've had to learn how to be unselfish from my wife, Linda. Thank God for her. Continuing in verse 5, it says, is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil. New American Standard says, he's a man who doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. How many of us do, man, you dirty rat, you did that to me? The Bible says that real men don't take into account a wrong suffered. They're not easily provoked. Oh, I'm not easily provoked, man. I'm easygoing, you betcha. Well, let me ask your wife and children, of course, with your permission. But of course, you're not likely to give me your permission to do so because you know how they're going to answer the question. Verse 6, it says that love or real men rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Real men, chivalrous men, are truth seekers, men. Are truth seekers. They're not only men of truth, but they are truth seekers. Truth seekers, because seeking truth entails seeking Christ, who was the way, the truth, and the life, through whom no one comes to the Father but Him. And thereby growing in the grace and the knowledge of Yeshua the Christ. Not only in the knowledge of Yeshua the Christ, men, in the grace of Yeshua the Christ. Verse 7, first part says, beareth all things. Macho men bear the burdens, men, particularly of their families, of their wives. They bear the burdens. They don't get upset with the burdens. They don't react to the burdens. They bear the burdens of their wives and their children's. Isn't that what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, where it says, you husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Same thing. Men, it's true. We need to have broad shoulders. But not so much physically as we do spiritually and emotionally, by which we can and will carry the spiritual and emotional burdens of our wives and our children when required. Back to verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Love real men endure. Listen to me. Marriage is a challenge. I'm not sure which is more challenging, marriage or being a father. They're both pretty challenging, aren't they, men? But men endure. Men endure all of that. Men endure all of those things. Love endures all things. Men, real men, endure all things with their relationship, in particular with their wives and their children. And last but not least, verse 8, it says, love never, never, never faileth. Love never fails. Men, love, real men, outlast everything. Like Christ and His love for us and whose example we're to follow. I don't know if you've ever thought about applying this to you men in your relationship with your wives and children, but listen. And following His example, we need to do the same. Romans 8, 32 through 39. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Yeshua is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who was at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. The setup for where we're going next. Who shall separate us, therefore, is what He's saying. Who shall separate us, therefore, from the love of Christ? From the love of Christ. The love of Christ that men, we are to exemplify ourselves in our own lives as we are being transformed daily into His image. Apply this now to you and your relationship to Christ, to your family. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Yes, men, for our wives and our children, for our family, we are to be consider ourselves as sheep, if necessary, to be slaughtered. But in all of these things, He goes on, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Our children, our wives will overwhelmingly conquer if we love them in the same way that Christ loves us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in the Christ Yeshua. How many wives and children can say the same things about us? And shame on us if they can't, or at least if they don't know that we're at least not working so that they can say it. None of which can separate them. All of these things can separate us or them from their love or our love for them. So, men, macho men, how you doing? How you doing? Well, I hate to tell you, that's only the first of the five lists. For the second list of manly characteristics, turn quickly to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And beginning with verse, we're going to be reading verses 22 and 23. Second list of genuine characteristics and attributes of manliness. Galatians chapter 2, verses Galatians 5, 22 and 23. For the fruit of the Spirit, men, for this fruit of Spirit-led men is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In this list, note that we find both long-suffering, patience, and self-control again. Well, Yahweh obviously knows. He doesn't repeat any things for no reason. Anytime anything is repeated, and the more it's repeated, the more we should understand that we need to pay attention to it. He obviously knew that we have a problem, men, with patience and self-control. And that we need to hear it more than once. and take heed thereto. How about gentleness, men? That's listed there as one of the fruits of the Spirit in this list of manliness. How about gentleness? How many of you had gentleness on your list of masculine characteristics? Well, I'd venture that there's not a man among us that would have put gentleness on our macho list. But I assure you, men, that that's a quality that your wife and children are looking for in you. And more importantly, it's a quality that Yahweh is looking for in you. He's not only looking to and fro throughout the earth for those whose hearts are completely His. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. He's also looking to and fro throughout the earth for men who are Spirit-led. And one of the attributes, men, of Spirit-led men is gentleness. Mighty men, are indeed wisest serpents. But they are also men who are as gentle as doves. As gentle as a nursing mother with her children. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. And it wasn't written to men, women. It describes us, men, as so gentle, along with being men, but so gentle as a mother with her nursing child. And I don't think you can get any more gentle than that. You talk about setting a high goal for us. And with that, I would ask you, men, where do any of us get off in being scolios, abusive, in any sense of the word? Shame on you, and may you seek Yahweh in overcoming that abominable, unmanly, pusillanimous, cowardly behavior. Yes, and even effeminate behavior. Because if it's not manly, then that's exactly what it is. It's effeminate. If you're a brute, men, if you're a brute, you're not manly. You're effeminate. For the third list, I don't have time to go over that one anymore. For the third list, I'd like you to turn to the Epistle of James. Or let me just read it to you for the sake of time here. James 3 and just simply verse 17. But the wisdom above men is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. Now, I don't have time to elaborate upon these. But I assure you, and don't miss that there's repetition, once again, men, in areas that we obviously need to pay special attention to. And I don't have time to elaborate, obviously, on this list, but I assure you that these seven pillars upon which the rest of wisdom is built, this is only the beginning, these seven pillars, that these seven pillars of godly wisdom are also attributes of a macho man. The other two lists you'll have to examine on your own. And let me add, if you are a real man, or if you aspire to a real man, to a macho man, you will examine these on your own. They're found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, where we find the qualifications of an elder or overseer. And that you may say, yeah, but I don't aspire to be an elder or an overseer. Well, if you don't, or at least if you don't aspire the qualifications of an overseer, then let me tell you something. You don't aspire to masculinity, plain and simple. If you don't at least aspire the qualifications of an elder or an overseer, because there's not, men, a qualification therein that is not also the characteristic of true manhood. Think about it. Do you really think that Yahweh wants anything but the best or the manliest of men as elders or overseers or judges in His ecclesia or kingdom? He wants the best of men, the manliest men, the courageous of men, and therefore he provides you the qualities of such men right there in the qualifications of being an elder. And by the way, men, there's your training manual for your sons. Whether they ever actually become elders or not, there is not, I guarantee you, you go look at it on your own, there is not, I guarantee you, a quality found therein that any one of you wouldn't or don't want displayed in your sons. Blameless. Not self-willed. Not soon angry. Not given to filthy lucre, etc. Which one of those fathers do you not want your sons or displayed in your sons? That you don't want to encourage them and teach them in? There is not, that is your training manual for your sons. But listen, to train your sons in those qualities, you're going to need them first. It seems to me that if you love your sons, men, we should have a glut of elders and overseers amongst us, or at least men with the qualifications to be such. Lord, hasten the day. Now, in conclusion, I want you to consider the list that we ourselves, myself included, would come up with as for the qualities or at the qualities of the macho man. I want us to compare the list that we would come up with as compared or contrasted, probably better, with the list that Yahweh has provided us. And the fact is, what's found on our list, men, is not found in His. And even more serious is what's found in His list are so often not found on ours. That alone should tell us something. Listen, we think, men, we think we've got it tough figuring out the feminine mystique. Man, we haven't even got masculinity figured out yet. And you know what? I'll bet you when we get true masculinity figured out, we'll never have to worry about the feminine mystique ever again. It'll take care of itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. I admonish especially you younger men, because you're our future. You're the future husbands and the future fathers. You're the future ambassadors. You're the first future servants, the future warriors for our King and our kingdom. But I also admonish you older men as well, because they need so desperately the example that they'll find nowhere else in this world. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, men, be on the alert, stand firm, act like men, be strong. How? Well, I just provided you five lists that provide the qualities and the characteristics, five inspired lists of how it's accomplished that describe the true macho man, that provide the qualities of authentic manhood. Let's strive, men, for our God, for our King, for our wives, and for our children's sake, to make them our own. We really don't have any other option. Not if we intend to be the men that they so desperately need us to be, that this nation needs us to be, that the kingdom is calling us to be, and that our God and King intends us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we know, I'm not speaking for the women at all, but Lord, we know as men that we have failed so often miserably to be the men that our wives and our children so desperately need us to be, and that we have failed you in the same fashion, Lord, for having done so. And we just ask your forgiveness. But Father, we ask more than that. We ask that you would empower us, that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would redeem us and regenerate us, that we indeed someday can become, or that we will indeed become very soon more and more the men that you intend us to be and that they so desperately need us to be. Guide us, strengthen us, bless us. We ask it in Yeshua the Christ, Lord. Amen.